Okay, good morning, everyone. I think we're ready to start some worship. I know I am. Ready to rock and roll. That's right. Well, Father, Lord God, I just pray, Father, that you lead us today, Lord. And right now, I just want to lift up just all the illnesses that are going on right now, Lord God, all the flu and even the whole fear of it. You know, I know as a parent, we know that I have four kids. So when you have one illness, it goes through the whole house. Father, help us just to stay safe, Lord God. Just give us wisdom and how to avoid this, Lord God. And help us to put others first too, Lord God. And want to protect others, Lord, even if we're carrying something, Lord. But I just pray that this whole flu season goes by quickly, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we're able just to worship this morning in freedom, Father. And as we're worshiping, Lord God, I just pray that you bring to our minds just all the amazing things that you've done for us, Lord. Father, Lord God, as we are walking this walk and following you, Father, I pray that you do just Help us to be overcomers, Lord God, and help us to understand that this is our walk with you. All of our walks are unique, Lord God. I pray that we don't compare ourselves to anyone else, Lord God. I pray that as we're walking, as you're teaching us, and when we're having those good days, Lord, that we don't judge others and how they're walking a little bit slower, or maybe they're just starting to learn. And Father, help us to realize that this is our walk alone with you, Father, that we can't point fingers or give blame or say, you know, it's his fault or her fault, Lord God. And we can take responsibility and say, Lord, I made mistakes and I want to do better. Help me to move on from this point, Father. Help us to have strength in knowing who we are in you, Christ.
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering? Because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a web tossed in the ocean, a vapor. Look on me with love and watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Because of
be known to all men, the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of God, of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things.
Confession. This is like one of my favorite songs, and Josh never wants to play it, and he's not here today. Really loud, and we'll just show him.
Take these hands and lift them up, for I have not the strength to praise you near enough, for take my voice and pour it out. Let it sing the songs of mercy I have found. For I have a nothing, I have a nothing without. So take my time,
here on this earth. And let it glorify all that you are worth. For I am nothing, I am nothing without you. I am nothing, I am nothing without you. Father, Lord God, help us to understand. We only have so much time on this earth, Lord. Help us not to get caught up in all the worldly things, Lord. And even as I was just thinking right now of even just the things I'm excited for, Lord God, sometimes things can be distractions from you wanting to move in us, Lord. So help us just to remember, Father, why we're here. You know, Lord God, we work to eat. It says, you know, we have to do these things, Lord God. But Father, help us to know what our first goal is, and that is to tell people about you. That is to live our lives, Lord God, so that we can be a fragrance that says Jesus. So Father, help us to do that. Help us to know that our days are limited and that we need to use those days wisely, Father. I give you this day. I give you this morning and this week. Father, just speak to us, Lord God. Correct us. Encourage us, Lord God, anything that your Holy Spirit needs to do to speak to our hearts, Father. We ask you to come here this morning, and Lord God, we are getting our flesh out of the way, and we are allowing your Holy Spirit to work through us, Father. Amen.
Hey, George, Chris is bringing you the zip drive, and just so you know, it's going to be Colossians 3i. Colossians 3i. Good morning, everybody. Amy! Thank you, brother. All right, so I don't think we had enough of these last time, so we've got plenty more. So if you remember these, we handed these out, The Value of a Soul. It's about 20 or 30 minutes. I don't know if anybody got a chance. We'll ask next week to watch any of these, but if you would like some of these, I'm sorry? You need one? So if you want one, please raise your hand, and we'll have people. Wendy Jo, would you mind handing these out to people? Oh, Chris, oh, good for you. I didn't even see him. Look at that. He's just serving. He is on it like a bonnet. Okay, so if you would also, I want to make sure. Okay, I want to also make sure that you pick one up. We've handed a bunch of these out. You guys remember from last Sunday to the bikers, and we gave away, I don't know, maybe 50, 100 at the funeral. And anyway, if maybe somebody could pray for them. I think they just lost another one of their bikers this week, and he was at the funeral.
So our hope is that he heard your word and he took it to heart, that maybe he even went home and listened and watched the video. Wow. It was 2 days, 2 weeks exactly to the day that we lost Zachary. Wow. that he passed. And so if you could lift them up in prayer and continue to pray for my niece she's just shut down. She's just not dealing at all. It's just total shutdown, numbness to it all. Yeah. And he was everything to my sister and my niece. And Cross is shutting down a little bit too, and he thinks stuffing it's the answer. Yeah. And if just continue to lift our family in prayer.
Well, does anybody feel led to pray for these bikers that they would watch? On the positive side, it's just amazing that God is getting the gospel message to people. And so let's just pray. If anybody feels led to pray specifically for them and for the family, just raise your hand and we'll bring you the mic. We want to pray that they would, okay, good. We want to pray that they would, you know, watch the DVDs, given that they wanted to take them. They wanted to watch them. So, would you mind praying for them and for the family?
Absolutely. Oh, Lord God, we know that you are the same yesterday and today and forever, yes. Lord Jesus, and we know that you do comfort those that are mourning, Lord Jesus. We just pray that you will touch them. We just pray that you would draw the family and each family member and each friend that is dealing with this tragedy. Lord, we just pray that you would draw them unto yourself. Lord Jesus, we do pray for safety as we all travel and all over the place. Lord Jesus, we take life for granted as we jump in a car or get on a motorcycle, that we just take so much for granted, Lord Jesus. And may it be a wake-up call to us as well as the friends and family that life is so short, Lord Jesus, and that we need to be in order, that we don't know that tomorrow might be the day for any of us, Lord Jesus. And we just pray that that something good would come out of this tragedy, that there would be some type of God, amazing miracle that would come out of this. Lord Jesus, we know that you are in control, and we're just coming against any hindering forces that would try to stop that from coming through, Lord Jesus. We thank you and praise you for your love. We praise you for your life that you give each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, if anyone would like one of these to give away to somebody, remember, you know, time is short. And so if you would like one to give away, I'm going to have a whole stack of them right here in this box. You can just come up and grab one after the service. And I would really encourage you to watch it, because it is a powerful, powerful DVD. And you'd be hard-pressed not to be touched by what God does through that video. Okay, let's go on to a couple things here real quick so that I don't forget. First off, if anybody would like to help with the clean team after church, and that's just wiping stuff down, vacuuming, we could really use your help. And somebody's here. Neely, hi, Neely. Works so hard. If anybody, raise your hand just for a second. If anybody can help with the clean team, even just once a month, would you please see Miss Neely and talk to her? Because we would love to have you help out on a regular basis. Love it, love it, love it. Also, again, free Panera bread loaves, those nice big baguettes. They're in a bag back there. There's probably about 30, 40 of them. Please grab one free. Grab two. Take them home in Jesus' name. We just want to bless you. Again, we don't take up tithes and offerings here, but we're receiving them in the back in the little bird box. And so you can place your tithes and your offerings back there. We already spoke about this one, too, the Value of a Soul DVD. Again, Holy Smoke Barbecue, doing a benefit for Solve House for unwed pregnant moms who want to have their baby instead of an abortion. So Sunday, February 25th at Gamble Mansion, we're gathering a bunch of guys. And if you would like to join that, please see Gary. Gary, can you raise your hand for the folks who don't know you? And it's just making a bunch of men and women now meet. And we're just selling that. All the proceeds go to Solve House, correct? Okay. And you can miss church on that Sunday, free, without guilt. Also, Secret Keeper Girl at the Bradenton Nazarene Church, February 27th, Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. With Dana Gresh. And that's from like 7 to 12. And so if you guys would like to go, that tickets are $26 at the Joy FM. And also Loving Hands Ministries, they're going to be coming here, I think it's in April. And we're going to hear some amazing testimonies. We're going to see our own Anthony come here, and he's going to share, along with some of the other guys, of what God's doing, freeing their lives from addiction, alcohol, drugs, and what God is doing in their lives. It's awesome, and it's amazing. Okay, so let's jump right in. Transformers Youth Group this Wednesday. However, a little caveat for those in the youth group, I'm almost positive that we're not seeing Samson this. We're having regular youth group here, okay, this week. And then next week, we're all going to see the Samson movie. Okay, so I just want to make sure everybody knows that. But we're meeting here at 6:30 to 8:30 for a youth group. And then Thursday night is barbecue and Bible study. You can bring a side to share from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Thursday. And keep praying for our newly baptized folks. We will have another baptism next month. And if you are speaking, please hold that microphone up to your mouth when it's delivered to you so we can all hear. Okay, we are in the book of Colossians. So if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. Chris, would you mind grabbing and delivering that to folks? The substance, supremacy, and sufficiency of Christ. Now, we're finishing up chapter 3 today. And so I realize there's some new folks here that haven't been through the whole study. So we've got a little 5-minute video to take you through the first 3 chapters. George, if you wouldn't mind hooking us up there. There'll be a big bonus in your paycheck. You'll get double of nothing. But your rewards in heaven will be great. Thanks, George. The video is only about 5 or 7 minutes long, but it'll take you through the first kind of a summation of the first few chapters, and then we'll finish out chapter 3 today, and I think chapter 4 will be next week. Okay?
Paul's letter to the Colossians. It was written during one of Paul the Apostle's many imprisonments for announcing Jesus as the risen Lord. And the letter's addressed to a group of people that Paul had never met who made up a church community that he didn't start. This church in Colossae was started by a co-worker of Paul's named Epaphras, who was actually from that city. And Epaphras had recently visited Paul in prison, and he updated him on how well the Colossians were doing overall, but he also mentioned some of the cultural pressures tempting them to turn away from Jesus. And so Paul wrote this letter to encourage the Colossians to address the issues that Epaphras had raised, and then to challenge them to a greater devotion to Jesus. The letter's design and flow of thought are pretty easy to follow. The opening movement focuses on Jesus as the exalted Messiah. Paul then goes on to show how his suffering in prison is for the exalted Jesus. And then he addresses the pressures tempting the Colossians to turn away from Jesus. After this, he explores the new way of life that Jesus' resurrection opened up for them. So the letter opens with two prayers. Paul first thanks God that he learned from Epaphras that the Colossians have been totally faithful to Jesus, showing love for God and their neighbors, all because of the hope they have in the new creation that Jesus has in store. And so he moves on to pray that they would grow in their wisdom and understanding about Jesus. And then Paul has placed a poem here to help the Colossians and us do exactly that. It's the centerpiece of chapter 1, a poem all about the crucified and exalted Messiah. It has two parallel stanzas, and it's crammed with language and imagery from the books of Genesis and Exodus, from the Psalms and the Proverbs. The first stanza explores how Jesus is the true image of God. In him, the full character and purpose of God is embodied in a human. He's the firstborn, an Old Testament phrase about Jesus' royal status over all creation. He shares in the very identity of the one true creator God. And by him, all reality, all powers and authorities, spiritual and human, have been created. It's in Jesus the Messiah that we discover the very author and king of creation. And so in the second stanza, we discover he's also the one bringing about a new creation. He's the head of a new body, which refers to Jesus' people, who are the new humanity, of which his own resurrection existence is a prototype. In him, God's glorious temple presence dwells, and so it's through Jesus' death and resurrection that God has reconciled himself to humanity, to all spiritual powers, to all of creation. It's a remarkable poem, and Paul will keep referring back to it as he goes on in the letter. So he first shows how the truth of this poem transforms his own experience of suffering in prison. He's being punished for announcing to the Greek and the Roman world that Jesus is the resurrected Lord and King of all. And so his suffering, he thinks, is not a sign of defeat. It's actually his way of participating in Jesus' own suffering done as an act of love. And so his hardships are actually a cause for joy. He's imprisoned for the surprising news that Israel's resurrected Messiah is creating a new multi-ethnic family. And more, just as the divine glory dwelt in Jesus, so Jesus dwells in and among his international family. Or as Paul says, the Messiah is in you all, the hope of glory. Paul then addresses the cultural pressures that are tempting the Colossians to turn away from Jesus. They were confronted by a combination of mystical polytheism along with a pressure to observe the laws of the Torah. So all these new Christians, they had grown up worshiping the various Greek and Roman gods who governed different arenas of human life, and many simply included Jesus as one more deity that they could worship. There was also great pressure from the Jewish Christian community for these non-Jews to complete their commitment to the Messiah by following all of the laws found in the Torah. Specifically, he mentions eating a kosher diet, observing sacred days, and circumcision. It's very similar to the problem he addressed in the letter to the Galatians. For Paul, to give in to either of these temptations is compromise. It's a failure to grasp who Jesus really is and what he did on their behalf. The Colossians used to live in fear of spiritual powers and elemental spirits, as Paul calls them. But Jesus triumphed over these through his death and resurrection. He freed the Colossians from any obligation to them. In the same way, Jesus fulfilled on our behalf all of the laws of the Torah, which never had the power to transform the selfish human heart anyway. And so what Jesus did in his life and death and resurrection, it lacks nothing. It doesn't need to be supplemented by following the laws. He is the reality to which all of the laws of the Torah were pointing anyway. Instead of the laws, followers of Jesus have the power of his resurrection to change them, which is what he goes on to explore. Following Jesus means joining his new humanity because their lives have now been joined to the risen Jesus's life. And this is why Paul challenges the Colossians to set their minds on things above, where the Messiah is seated or rules at God's right hand. Now, Paul doesn't mean here, think about how you'll one day leave earth and go to heaven. Rather, the heavens are the transcendent place from which Jesus rules now over all of creation. And from there, he will one day return here to transform all things. Or, as Paul says, when the Messiah who is your life is revealed, you too will be revealed with him in glory. So Paul challenges them to live in the present as the kinds of new humans they will one day become. He uses the image of their old humanity, characterized by distorted sexuality and destructive speech. For Christians, that humanity died with Jesus and has been replaced by his own new humanity, which is characterized by mercy and generosity, by forgiveness and love. And this humanity, it transcends the ethnic and social boundary lines of our world to create, in Paul's words, a people where there is no one Greek or Jewish, circumcised or uncircumcised, slave or free, but the Messiah is all and is in all people. Paul then gets really practical, and he shows the Colossians what this new humanity might look like in a first century Roman household, which was a highly authoritarian institution where the male patriarch held the power of life and death over his wife and children and slaves. Not so in a Christian household. Here, the risen Jesus is the true Lord. And so, in the Lord, the wife allows her husband to become responsible for her, and the husband is subject to Jesus by loving his wife and placing her well-being above his own. In a home where Jesus is Lord, children are not objects, but are called to maturity and to respect, and parents are to raise their children with patience and understanding. Christians who are slaves are to honor their human masters precisely because they're not the real master. Jesus is. And Christians who have slaves are to understand that this slave is not their property, but rather a fellow member of Jesus's body to be honored and embraced in love. And Paul's walking a very fine line here. He is reshaping the most basic Roman institution around Jesus, who rules by his self-giving love. And so while he doesn't abolish the household structure outright, the exalted Messiah demands that it be transformed, almost beyond the point of recognition for any Roman living in Colossae. You can...
That's just something I whipped up for you.
It's, you guys are worth it. That was pretty cool, wasn't it? Okay, and just lest any new folks think that I actually did do all that drawing. That was not me. All right, so we are in Colossians 3, and we did just talk about the new resurrected life and the family and the husband and the wife and the kids, and we just got done with sharing some parenting tips here from the Word of God in Colossians. And so now we're going to the section here in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 22. And through verse, I think, chapter 4, verse 1. And so if I could get a reader, somebody who's a good reader who wouldn't mind reading that, we'll bring you the microphone, and you could read that little section for us, and then we'll start our study. So, thanks.
Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven, being watchful. In heaven.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, great. So we are going to start in verse 22. And, you know, the train of thought which Paul is saying, hey, if you have Jesus in your life, then Jesus transforms your life. You've become the temple of the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit dwells in you and starts a process in you at where you don't clean yourself up on the outside to come to God. God comes and takes you just where you're at. He takes, like a lot of people think, you know, when we come to God, we have to clean ourselves up, right, before we can come to God. No, no, no. God says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and I will transform your life. So you come to Jesus just as you are and say, Lord, you know, I don't want to live my way anymore. I'm dirty. I'm a sinful man, and I need your help. I need you to cleanse me. I want to live for you. And God starts a beautiful work from the inside out. He starts to cleanse you. He starts to change your heart. He starts to change your mind. He starts to change your thinking. He starts to change your actions. He starts to change your life. He starts to change the lives of others around you. That's a supernatural God. That's what he does. That's who he is. And so when we start off, I feel like I almost have to say this because, you know, of our culture, you know, when it's talking about slavery here, you know, and, atheists actually will use this as a proof text to say, see, the Bible advocates slavery. You see this old, terrible, antiquated book, it just believes in slavery, and so nobody should read this terrible thing. Is that what it's saying here? No, of course not. This is, could you hit the lights for a second, Chris? Thanks. This is actually billboards that were taken out. It was a few years back when they had the Year of the Bible by the House of Representatives. And an atheist paid for this, slaves obey your master. And it was kind of trying to be a slam, using this verse to say, hey, the Bible promotes slavery, and so everybody should run from the Bible. Well, in fact, that couldn't be further from the truth. Listen, here's the deal. Just as a reminder, this is what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. For those of you who are thinking anything weird, or if you have some thoughts, some baggage from the culture, or if you've heard stuff like this, the Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you are all one at Christ Jesus. At the cross, we are all equal. There's nobody rich, nobody poor, nobody fancy schmancy and whatever. It doesn't matter. You're all equal at the foot of the cross. Does that make sense? Listen to this. This was Paul even said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 21. And he's like, man, when you were saved, when you were called, were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. Okay? And then he goes on to say, and remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you and when you got saved, you're now free in the Lord. And if you're free when the Lord calls you, now you're a slave to Christ. And so he even goes so far as to say that slavery is outright wicked and sinful. Okay, 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10 says this. We know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly, sinful, unholy, irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, murderers, sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders, and liars and perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. So the Bible speaks about that a lot and speaks about that in detail. In fact, the whole book of Philemon is Paul pleading with them to receive this slave back, Onesimus, who I guess had run away and stolen stuff from him, and says, hey, when he comes back to you, now that you're a Christian too, I don't want you to receive him as a slave. I want you to receive him as a brother. Now, when it says slavery, Paul has to address this because Back in the Rome, we don't get this too much like right now in our time, but back in the first century in the Roman Empire, there were 60 million slaves. By some historians, we'll say 50% of the people were actually considered slaves at the time. And it kind of follows the flow here as it's talking about mothers and fathers. Why does it go to slaves? Because a lot of these slaves were household servants. And they would educate. They were teachers back then. They were disciplinarians back then. They were doctors. They were lawyers. So to ignore slavery and to not mention this would be almost to like ignore half of the population in the known world. So Paul is addressing this. Now, we can't quite see it the same way, so we're going to take a look at it more like employees and employers, as the same type of principles apply. But that's why Paul is addressing that. He has to address the culture, and he's reshaping everyone's thinking by doing so. Yes, your hand's up.
Yes. Because, you know, Herod was raising the taxes much higher than what the people could take while he was building his temple.
Yeah.
His temple. So that's how there are also more slaves.
They would take them and they couldn't pay and then they put them into slavery.
Yes. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So when we look at some of these things, as we're reading some of these things, as we go down through the word here, it says here, slaves in verse 22. So that we can translate that nowadays just for our own culture here. You know, employees, obey your earthly masters, your employers, in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. That sincerity of heart basically is saying, you know what? If you're an employee or whatever, if you're a believing employer, if you're a born-again believer, then you know what? You're to do what's right by that company, by your boss. You're to do the right thing in their eyes as a witness for him. Because it goes on to say, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. And so we're to be a witness for him, for Jesus, at our company, with how we work. Not just when the boss, you know... there's a lot of ways to cheat the system. You know what I'm saying? If you're at a computer system, you know, you do the alternate tab. So you're playing solitaire or a game, right? Instead of doing you know what I'm talking about, right? You're playing a game or you're doing your emails. You know what I'm saying? You're doing your personal stuff. You can steal their time. You can, now if the boss is right there, oh, you know, we're right on the money. We're doing what we need to do. But if the boss isn't looking, well, kind of the general mindset, right? Let's see how little we can do of the work. You know what I'm saying? He won't know. Am I right? The company makes plenty of money. They don't need all this paper that they have and these pens. Let's just take them. There's a million ways to cheat the system and cheat the boss. That's what the world does. But Jesus is saying, I want you to work in a different way because the eyes of the Lord is always on you and you're a witness for him. You're a witness to him, to your boss. You're a witness to him, to the other employees, to all these people that are around you. And it says right here, in the word, it says, with sincerity of heart. And that word in Greek, haplotes, means with a singleness of heart. It means without hypocrisy. So that means as you're doing your work, it's like you're working for the Lord. Well, what if nobody sees that, hey, they're all taking their breaks 10 times as long, and you're back to work? Well, you're doing it because you're being a witness for the Lord. And who's the one that sees you? Who's the one that's really, who are you really working for if you're a Christian? Isn't that true? Listen, if you're getting a paycheck from somebody, right, you're getting your $2 an hour or $10 an hour or whatever you get, or $20 an hour, if you're getting that, that's a wage, but the real payment is from the Lord. And that's what's most important. And that's what we have to remember in everything. And we're to be without hypocrisy. He wants us to be, I don't know, do you guys ever notice this in a workplace? That people can be very two-faced? Do you ever notice that? You ever notice that people can be very two-faced, like, hey, especially like around their boss? You know, they're like behind the boss. Oh, I hate that guy. Hey, boss man, what's happening, brother? You know. He says, I want you to do it with sincerity of heart, without hypocrisy. If, for those of you who don't know, a hypocrite in Greek time, that's a Greek word for actor. They would put on those masks that you see sometimes, the smiley face and the frowny face that you see even today. He's saying, I don't want you to put on a mask at your work. I want you to be genuine with people. You ever heard of WYSIWYG? Anybody know what that is? What you see is what you get. He wants us to be without hypocrisy. He wants us to be without a mask. In other words, you get to see the good and the flaws, but you get to see truth. You get to see real. So that when I tell you about Jesus, oh, I should listen to you because you're not like the rest of these cats. It says in here too, listen to this. Whatever you do, work at it with some of your heart. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Yeah, most of you. No, it doesn't say that. Well, first thing it says, whatever you do, he says, work at it. Now, I know we live in a culture where okay, it's whatever you do, work at it. Wherever you work, you're actually supposed to work. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if it's a Florida thing or if this is just now an age thing or a cultural thing, but I'm going to work, but I don't really want to work. I just kind of want people to pay me money so I don't really have to do anything and I don't want too much hassle. What's the problem? No. If you're going to a job, you go there to, if you're going to work, you go there to what?
Work.
So listen, if somebody's paying you a wage and you've agreed it, you work for that person.
Well, I don't like my job and I don't like my pay and I don't treat me like that.
Leave. Nobody's forcing you. But if you're to work, you're to work. And not even, maybe your boss, you don't understand, Pastor Darren, my boss is a real jerk. Well, I've got news for you. He's not really your boss if you're a born-again Christian. Your real boss is your Father in heaven. You work for him. So whether your earthly boss says, hey, great job, or is like on you, you know, with that little thumb, whatever, you give it up to the Lord because you work for Jesus Christ. And your main job is to be a witness for him at home, in your family, at your work, with your kids, at your school, wherever it is, that's your main job. So it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. There's a scripture verse. I don't even have a slide for it. I got to, give me just a second. Galatians. It's in Galatians. Processing, stand by. Go eat popcorn. Okay, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, right. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, okay? Our main goal isn't to please men and to have everybody think, oh, he's the best employer, your boss saying, oh, you get your little star on the, you know, little thing up on the wall or whatever. Your main goal is to please the Lord. Galatians 1:10 says this, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? This is what Galatians 1:10 says. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Wow. Do you hear what that says? If I were still just trying to please men or being a people pleaser, it says I would not be a servant of Christ. And so we have to remember we work for him. So that means, I put a couple things in here. I wonder if I should do it now. No. All right. I'll do it in just a second. Go back to Colossians. Give me just a sec. My Bible is falling apart. But because of Jesus and his word, my life isn't. Verse 24. It also says, verse 23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. And then verse 24 says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, for it is the Lord Jesus Christ that you're serving. Now, this is cool because you know what? A slave could not receive any inheritance ever. He was absolutely guaranteed to never receive an inheritance. And what the Bible is saying is, hey, it doesn't matter what your earthly bosses or masters say. I'm telling you that you're an adopted son, you're an adopted daughter of Jesus Christ. If you've given your heart to me, then you are one of my kids. You're one of the king's kids, and I have an inheritance for you. And that's an amazing thing. It's kept in heaven for you, 1 Peter says. And it spoils and fades not, just for you. And I put this down a little bit, and these are just, I got a little thing. As a Christian, I really struggle, and maybe you guys do too. Maybe you don't. This is not how it should be, but how many of you guys, I don't even know how to ask this, Lord, so help me ask it in the right way. How many of you guys have had problems in the past with professing Christian workers? Raise your hand, if you would. Quite a few. How many have had that on a regular basis? Raise your hand. Quite a few. Now, can I tell you, we're all human, so we're all going to make mistakes on occasion, right? But if that's the general, the Christian workers are whatever. Some of us, if you've been walking with the Lord a while, sometimes it can be pretty bad. It's not really a good witness. I used to own a computer company a long time ago, a computer networking firm. And I was a baby Christian at the time. And so, you know, I especially wanted to hire Christians, you know. Christian, because they're going to be dedicated and hardworking and honest and faithful. And they won't, oh my goodness, they were many times lazy and self-entitled. And I think every Christian that ever worked for me, a workman's due his wages, they would always go, oh, I hear that same thing every time. Continually asking for raise, continually grumbling and complaining, continually. And I'm thinking, what a letdown. Almost to the point where I didn't even want to hire Christians. And I am a Christian. Something's wrong. So here's, you guys might have some things. These are some things that I came up with. That's right. Now I remember. Okay, here are some things. If you're a Christian and you're a Christian employee, then here's some things that will help you, okay? Because here's the thing. You want to look different than everybody else. You want to be different. Now, when I worked in the world and I was not a believer, it was common for me to lie. I mean, I would probably lie 50 times a day, easy. Okay? That salesman, purchasing manager, whatever I needed to say, okay? I'm not proud of that, but that's what I would do. Whatever would close the deal, blah, blah, blah. Before I was a believer, that was kind of the norm. Just lie, get the job done. But not so for you, Christian. Not so for you. So if you're an employee, you know what? Be honest. Be truthful in your work. If you're out repairing air conditioners and you can repair it with a $50 part and a half hour labor, don't tell them they need a whole new system because you get a big fat commission off of it. Do you know what I'm saying? If you're supposed to be working till 5:30, don't skip out it. Unless you have the boss's approval, don't skip out at 4:30 because the boss goes home at 4:25. And besides, you deserve it anyway for how hard you work, harder than everybody else. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't lie to the customer because it's easy for you. Listen, we're to be honest and truthful. Here's a couple scriptures. Proverbs 12:17. You guys know some of these, but if you're a Christian employee, then be truthful when you speak to people, when you spoke to customers or your boss. Even if it means you get in trouble, even if it means you messed up, I would rather you be honest because that pleases the Lord. A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Proverbs 12:22 says, "The Lord detests lying lips." That's the language of hell. That's what a lot of people speak regularly. Okay, it says that in John that's what Satan speaks, that he's the father of all lies. Hey, he's the dad of all lies. So every time you lie, you are giving honor to Satan, the father of lies. Just think about that if you're a born-again believer. Okay? Oh, it's just a little white lie. Oh, it's just a little honor to Satan. No, we're to be truthful. But he delights in those who tell the truth. Okay? So be truthful. Proverbs 16:11 says, "Honest scales and balances belong to the Lord, and all the weights in the bag are in his works." What they would do, if you wanted to go in back in those days and you wanted to buy like a pound of rice or something, they'd weigh it on the scale, they'd use the weights, but sometimes they'd cheat and they'd make the weights feel different, right? And so that they could rip people off. No, honest scales. Another, the Living Bible says, "The Lord demands fairness in every business deal. He established this principle." We're to honor the Lord in all of our deals. Okay? Here's another one, okay? I almost feel silly that I even have to say this, but I feel like I have to say this. Okay, if you're a Christian employee, don't be lazy at work. Work hard. Because again, what did the Bible say? Who are you working? What does the Word of God say? Who are you working for? You're working for the Lord. You're not working for the $2 an hour, or you're not working to win the prize. You're working for the Lord. So don't be lazy. Work hard. I tell you what, I've watched more employees work harder to be lazy than if they would have just done the work. Now, if you guys own a business, how many are owning a business or managing a business in here? Raise your hands. Okay. How is it very difficult right now to find just the first two, honest, hardworking people here in Florida? Raise your hand if it's difficult for you. All the same people. It's difficult. But you, don't be lazy, Christian. Again, this is a doozy. Ready for this? Proverbs 18:9. "The one who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys." Ouch. Or as a New Living Translation says it, "A lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things." See, you're to be a witness for the Lord. You want that employer or that person to see, whether it's the customer or your employer, to see there's something different about this guy. There's something different about this girl. I don't know what it is, but they're honest. They work hard. Not like most of the others. Do you know what I'm saying? He goes on to say, we used to have these motivational posters. Okay, I did buy them. I know they're corny, but whatever. So I bought these things. This is a long time ago. So I'd have these posters, you know, you've seen them. It has a little picture of something like, here's a few of the ones I had. One was teamwork, you know, and a bunch of people rowing on a beautiful glass. And it would have a little teamwork and inspirational, motivational thing to work as a team. And then I would have attitude, and it would be a little match, you know, catching the other matches. Is yours worth catching? And okay, so I know they were corny, but so if I did anything, so this is my demotivational poster, okay? I get so frustrated with this. Okay, so here we go. This is Proverbs 10:26. This would be my demotivational poster. I'm lazy. Okay, Proverbs 10:26 says, "Lazy people irritate their employers like vinegar to the teeth or smoke in the eyes." And I don't know if you can see that picture, but come on, move the branch 3 inches. And the reason why is because you work for the Lord and not for men. It's in our nature to be lazy, isn't it? I would really just like to sit on the couch all day long and watch TV. That's what I would like to be fed on a regular basis. Don't even want to get up to get fed. But that's not what God's called me to, right? Yeah, I would have made a great dog. Yeah, sure. But so don't be lazy, okay? Here's another Be a person of integrity. What does integrity mean?
Doing the right thing.
Yeah, yep. Doing the right thing when nobody's looking. Christian, you serve the living God, right? So who cares if people don't know what's going on? The Lord sees it, and he's going to reward you. You have his promise. Amen, Sue? You work for the Lord and not men. So be a person of integrity. Do the right thing, not because people are watching you, but to be a witness for him. Here's what his word says. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Wow. Okay? So even if you got the enemy attacking, he's a shield to those who walk with integrity. Proverbs 11:20 says this. Ooh, this is a doozy. The Lord doesn't mind if I steal a little bit here, doesn't shimmy sham. Baloney. Says, the Lord detests people with crooked hearts, but he delights in those with integrity. Okay? This is the opposite of what the world will teach you, okay? And 1 Chronicles 29:17 says, I know, my God, that you test the heart and you are pleased with integrity. Aren't we here to please the Lord? If you're here and you love Jesus Christ, then be a woman of integrity, no matter what comes against you. Amen? I also have one more that's not on the list, but Proverbs 20:17. The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them, or their children will be blessed. So here's what it's saying. You walk in integrity, that's going to overflow even onto your kids. I want that blessing. I want my kids to walk in integrity because that honors the Lord. So here's God's promising to you. Hey, the godly will walk with integrity and their children are even going to be blessed. Those around you are going to be blessed. You do it. And don't be all self-righteous about it, right? Because the only reason you're walking with integrity is because the Lord's working in you, right? So apart from God, you would be a shifty little stink butt, lazy person just like the rest of us. So you thank the Lord. You praise him for what he's doing in you. Okay, here's something else. Wait. Don't be a whiner. Don't be a complainer. Now listen, I'm not saying be dishonest. You know, where did I go? I went to Smoothie King the other day to get a smoothie. It was a meal. And so I was at there, and I was just having a really tough. And I had this, he was very nice. Oddly enough, his name was Christian. And he said, normally I'm super friendly, encouraging, and you know, I was just having, this is really, it's been a rough week, so I'm like, he's like, of course he comes, hey, welcome to Smoothie King, great to see you, how's your week going, you know, and he's just doing his little job, you having a great week, are you, right? I was like, well, I can't lie, right, because we told, so I said, actually, you know what, I'm not having the best week, I said, thank you for asking, but God is good, and he's going to get me through it. That's being honest, okay? I'm not saying lie, but every time, hey, how you doing? My whole life is miserable. How's the job going? Oh, it's too hard. It's too hot. The stuff's too heavy. The customer's a pain. I can't do it. How am I going to? You don't need to be whining and complaining all the time. It does no good to begin with, and everybody does it. That's what the world does. You be different. Listen, here's, okay, I don't know if you guys heard of Keith Green, but he did this comic a long time ago. Christians have been walking a long time, probably heard of this. But in Numbers 11, 1 to 2, the Israelites were freed from slavery, and they got out, they were just so oppressed by the Egyptians, and they went out, and man, they just, you know, they just complained all the time. And finally, they were saying, God provided them manna to eat every day. So they were provided for in the middle of the desert. He brought water from a rock. I mean, it was amazing. And then they just got there like, you know, we were better as slaves because we got to eat onions, garlic. And I, you know, so we had it better. Where's this God's provide? And it said, and this is Numbers 11, 1 to 2. And when the people complained, It displeased the Lord. You know, I used to wonder why Moses struck the rock. Do you guys remember that story? Yes. Now I'm thinking, I probably would have broke the little rod. But it says, when people complained, this displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the camp, in the uttermost parts of the camp. And when the people finally cried out to Moses, Moses prayed unto the Lord, and the fire was quenched. So that's what the grumbling. Now, this was actually, I've seen this. I don't know if you've seen this. I've actually seen this, but it was just kind of funny, okay? Complaint department, I don't know if it's a grenade, you pull a pin, you can see it. Okay. Now, this was funny to me, but in all honesty, man, that complaining, that's what it's like. This is what the Bible says in Philippians. This is Philippians 2, well, I'm going to go back one. This is Philippians 2:14. It says, do some things without complaining or arguing. What? Oh, did I miss something? What does it say?
Everything.
Now, is that natural?
No.
Of course not. But I want to whine. I do. But I want to also, more importantly, show the power of the supernatural God living inside of me. So I'm not going to be complaining about everything. I'm not going to be grumbling about everything. I'm not going to be arguing about everything. Do everything without complaining or arguing, because you're working for the Lord. He goes on to say, listen to this. I love this. And here's the reason why. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you'll shine among them like stars in the sky. In other words, they're all going to be grumbling and complaining. They don't like their job. They don't like their pay. They don't like their boss. They don't like everything. And you're different. And you're there. Ah, the joy of the Lord. Why are you singing that Christian stuff? Oh, no reason. Will be my strength. And you're just working unto the Lord. When people start seeing that from you on a regular basis, first they're going to say, what's wrong with this dude? What's wrong with this chick? But then you can say, you know what? It's Jesus. It's just Jesus. And that, it makes them thirsty to want to know more. And then you're going to shine like stars in the heaven. It's like you're reflecting the light of Jesus to others. He said, I want you to be a city on a hill, right? A light that the whole city can see. I don't want you to hide under a bushel. You're going to shine when you're not doing the things the world does. So quit being a whiny pants. And I say that to me. Yes.
Early seasons of SNL, they had the whiners. Do you remember those?
No.
Oh, it's pretty funny.
The whiners and the complainers.
I don't know if it's probably on YouTube, but everything. They just whined about everything. I'd say it took place in the Northeast.
Yes. Well, it also takes place in Florida a lot. Okay, and here's the last thing. You know what? Instead of being a complainer, a whiner, a grumbler, a fault finder, you know what? Any knucklehead can do that. How about you be joyful? Hey, that's crazy. Because the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Now, that doesn't. I'm not saying, again, that you're always going to be prancing around like a pony. You're just so happy all the time. I love Jesus all the time. Nothing ever bothers me. That's not real. But the Lord's joy goes beyond the pressure that's being put on me. The Lord's joy goes beyond the nastiness that people say, or that your boss is going to do, or what the customer said, or that you're not making enough money. The joy of the Lord goes beyond that. Psalm 112, 1 to 2 says this. Oh, I forgot to say this. I got this little over half. So 50 to 60% of all workers are unhappy. So when you show the joy of the Lord, they see something different in you. Psalm 112, 1 to 2 says, praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, reverence God, and delight in his commandments. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed by you. Awesome! Okay? Here, listen to this. Psalm 112, 1 to 2. And I see some people taking pictures of this. You can do that. That's great. But we're going to put them out. And Neely is going to be putting these out each week. On our Facebook page, I guess. I don't even know what it is. I'm not even on Facebook. What is it? I'm so sorry, Neely. What is it? Just Home Fellowship Church. What? How do you get on Facebook? Okay. You guys know. Look up Home Fellowship Church on Facebook. Anyway, and if you subscribe there, we're going to put some of these out each week. Okay, also Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. But you don't know this boss. You don't know what they pushed me through. You don't know the work environment. You don't know what I get paid. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. Bleh. Listen. Yeah, stop whining. Go. Hebrews 10:33-34. Okay, now this is what Paul was saying, okay? People were being beaten and executed, and this is what he's telling them. I don't know if you're getting beaten at your job or executed. Maybe. But he says this in Hebrews 10:33-34. Sometimes you are publicly exposed to insult and persecution. Hey, probably a pastor. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were being so treated. You suffered along with those in prison. And joyfully accepted, listen to this, the confiscation of your property. Is anybody taking your car? Your boss taking your car? Your home? He says, but you joyfully accepted that because you knew that you yourself had better and lasting possessions. Where is that inheritance? You're not home yet. This is not your home. I love you and be a blessing here, but this isn't your home. You work for treasures that won't fade or spoil in heaven, where moth and rust won't destroy it. And then it goes on to say, yeah, I told you this. What did we do? We already said that. We already said all that. Nah, I'm not going to say that. That's a good one. I said that. Sorry. Now, in the verse where it goes, that last verse, 4:1, where it says, masters or employers, provide your slaves with what is right and fair because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Okay, so employers, here's a few things, okay? First, just be fair. Just be fair. If you're a boss, okay, just be fair with your employers. I almost want to say something. Oh, the Lord's telling me not to. Oh. Okay. Just be fair with the evaluations, you know, critiques, the treatment, how you treat people. Be fair. Matthew 7:12 says, do to others as you would have them do to you. How much would you want to be paid if the roles were reversed? If they had 6 kids? Do you know what I'm saying? Treat others how you would want to be them. How would you, if you were in their shoes, if you're a boss, you're an employer, manager or employer or what, I mean, whatever, how would you want to be treated? Do that the same way. Do to others purposely as you would have them do to you. Also, be just in your expectations and your decisions. Because again, you have a master too, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Micah 6:8 says this, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You don't need to tell everybody you're the boss, owner of the company. Boss man, you don't need to. The guy gives you, but you don't need to do all that. Employers, Christian employers, be respectful to those you're working with, and be a servant leader. Here's two scriptures. 1 Peter 2:17. This is the Bible says this to you. It says it to everyone, but. As a boss, respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. So we're to treat everyone with respect, right? You're in no higher position. The only reason you have that position is because of the Lord. And then here, be a servant leader. This is in Mark 10:42-44. You could do it like this. That's what the world does. It says, Jesus called his disciples together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But, he goes on to say, this is how you should be leading. He says, but among you, Christians, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first among you must be the slave of everyone else. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How about we do the same? You serve, lead by serving. And then be kind. If you're a boss, speak words of encouragement with your words and action. Just simply be kind. Proverbs 16:24 says this, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Man, they're probably getting ragged on by everybody else. You be a blessing to them. Not that you can't correct them. You have to do that sometimes or even rebuke them. But your general stuff should be encouraging them with words. Or Ephesians 4:32, simply be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, as in Christ, God forgave you. And Proverbs 11:25. Oh, this is the next one. I probably should have waited. Oh, there should be a thing in here. But anyway, one of the next ones says, the last one is be generous. And that means be generous with your wages, be generous with whatever. Be a generous boss. And Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. You know, one of the things that we do to help offset what we do in the ministry is we have dogs and we do golden doodles, and we have other folks to help us to do that too sometimes. And I remember when we were setting it up and how much we were going to pay the folks that were going to be helping us, the person who mentored us, they always said wonderful things. When we told them what we were going to pay the people that were going to be helping us, they actually said we were dumb. They said we were foolish to pay them so much. Nobody pays them that much. You're being foolish with what you're doing. Well, again, we work for the Lord. We want them to be blessed as well. We want them to be encouraged as well. We want to make money, wonderful, but we want them to do well as well. Okay, I think. And lastly, Proverbs 19:17, if you're helping the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. You can trust him. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And the last little thing in this last verse, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Verse 25. So you don't have to worry about if you're getting beaten down or whatever. You don't have to take revenge on anybody. You don't have to get back at anybody. Romans 12:19 says, do not take revenge. I'm going to get that employee. I'm going to get that boss. I'm going to get that company. They didn't treat me right. They didn't do what was fair. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to revenge. I will repay, says the Lord. So that person who's gossiping about you, talking bad about you, you don't need to worry about any of that stuff. God will take care of it for you. And then lastly, God doesn't show any favoritism. If God doesn't show any favoritism to his employees, right? Neither should you. Isn't that true? You don't treat one person, you know how it is. Mom's favorite, right? Or dad's favorite. Can I tell you a secret? If you're here in Christ Jesus, can I tell you something? You're the favorite. You're the favorite. You're the favorite. You're the favorite. You get the idea? I know somebody said, you didn't look at me. You're the favorite too. So I should look at all of you just to make sure. You're all God's favorites. Basically, the bottom line is, whatever you do in word or deed, we're to do it all for the Lord. Take it seriously. Take what God's saying. There's not enough believers. Should I tell this story? Okay, I'm going to tell you a quick story. One more story before we go. One quick one. Okay, so I was at Panera getting all the stuff, right? There's just not enough believers, professing believers, living like they should. How about you be the boss? And so, you know what I used to do? One thing, I used to send scriptures out. Now, not everybody liked that. Well, if they didn't like it, they could just delete it. I'm okay with that. But I would bless them. Sometimes I would pray for them. But there's not enough employers, employees that are honoring, seeking to honor God. How about you? You be different. Okay, I'm not saying you can't make a buck or ask for a raise or do those things, but I'm just saying you make sure that your heart is to honor the Lord in all things. Does that make sense? He's your primary. I was at Panera gathering all the stuff so that you guys could have some bread and some fresh stuff late last night. And the last people in there, I feel kind of embarrassed to say, there was some, I'm going to guess a teenage girl. And it must have been at least 16 to 18, let's just say. I can't. And a guy, and they were, it was awkward. They were making out, let's just say, in a very graphic way. And we'll just leave it at that. Just right there at the booth. Right there. And so, you know, everybody, you know, all, the employees are all like, what do we do? I don't know. I don't know either. They're looking, because they know me. I'm like, I don't know. They're not my customers. What do you, you know? So, and of course they got up and they're coming. And of course they're all hanging over each other and the shorts are, you know, up to, you get, yes, they make Daisy Dukes look, you know, modest. And so, oh brother. And so I went outside, so I'm carrying my stuff out there. And it was embarrassing. So they leave, and they're like, oh man, look at them. Whoa, you know, these are worldly people. And so I'm taking them outside, and I'm like, yeah, just offer them a cookie. Okay. So, hey, would you guys each like a cookie? Yeah, we want a cookie. Yeah, we'll take one. Yeah, okay. So we talk to them for a minute, and they go back inside. So I'm like, okay, Lord, there we go. I gave it to him in Jesus' name. God bless you. Oh, okay. And then I felt like the Lord was saying, why don't you just give them something about me? Tell them about me before they go. And I was like, oh. Okay, you know. So I went over to the girl's truck and kind of knocked on it. And I had one of these DVDs and you know, hey! You know? I'm like, no, I'm just, because the guy had left already. And so I was like, no, I just, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm a Christian. And, and so I just wanted to come over here and I just wanted, you know, I just want to give you something. I hope you guys enjoyed those cookies. I just want to give you something about the Lord, you know, and just want to encourage you to watch it. And I'm, you know, oh, no problem. You know, see this? I'm across with you all the way. Now, the Lord knows the person's heart, so I'm not in any way attacking. I'm simply using it as an illustration, okay? Whatever you do, mom, dad, teacher, friend, coworker, employer, employee, make sure that you know who you're working for. No earthly master. You are working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You don't compromise for anybody, right? You do your work as unto the Lord, as a witness for him. Let them see such a change in your life, in your thinking, maybe your words, what you listen to, what you say, what you don't say, that they have to say, what is it about you? What's different? And then you can say, it's all about Jesus. Let me give you a DVD. Amen? Okay. All right, let's pray. And we'll see you this week at either the youth group or the Thursday night Bible study. Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord, that your word won't return void, Father. I pray that you would just plant your word, hide your word, plant those seeds deep into each person's heart, Lord God, that it wouldn't be me speaking, Lord, but it would be your Holy Spirit opening, revealing a truth, Lord God, into someone's heart, into someone's mind, into someone's life, Lord God, regardless of the age. And will you revolutionize and change, Lord, our family life, our relationships, our marriages, our work conditions, our everything, Lord, in our life. We surrender to you, and we ask that you would do a work in us so that you could do a work through us, Lord God. We ask for your blessing to be upon this body, Lord God, that no one would go away and forget what was said today, but that you would bring it back to mind and that they would hold on to one thing or two things or 10 things that was said today, Lord, because it was from you, and that they would trust in faith and hold on to that, and their lives would be changed, Lord, all for your glory. We ask this blessing upon this body, on this church, on this school, on the ministries, and all that you're doing here, Lord. We love you and bless you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, whom we all work for, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.